Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the town of the Sojourners World Hub here in Tennessee. We're at our Alpha Pod meeting, and we want to welcome you, those of you who are listening around the world, those of you who are attending in other cities, and those of you who will be attending over the Internet as you download these messages when they're posted. We want to welcome those of you from Singapore. We know that you're enjoying these. We want to welcome those of you from Australia, from Kenya, from Germany, from Iceland and Greenland, those of you from South Africa and from Uruguay, and the rest of you who will be listening to this as well. In this session, we're going to be thinking in the terms of when you pray. And our scripture is found in Matthew 6, verse 9. And there it says, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Usually I usually read from the International Version, the New International Version, but in this one I'll be reading from the King James Version. Starting with verse 9 in chapter 6 of Matthew, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that is what's known as the Lord's Prayer, which is actually, it would be better called the disciples' prayer, because he's teaching the disciples to pray. You know, prayer is a part of the life of a believer. A person who claims Christ as Lord and Savior will pray, because it is such an integral part of their life that believers, once they've met Jesus the Christ, they will pray. Many times I've said, when it comes to a married couple, a quiet house is not necessarily a peaceful house. You say, well, what does that have to do with prayer? Well, I'll tell you. When two people in relationship to one another are saying nothing to each other, chances are there is strife or a broken relationship there. The same is true with a believer and God. So, if you're not talking to God, if you've accepted Christ at some time but you don't have a regular prayer life, if you're not connecting through prayer to God, there must be some kind of strife or broken relationship. Now, who would have broken that relationship and who would be in strife? It's really interesting. Before the service tonight, we were talking about that very thing with someone. They had no idea that this was a part of this session together. But if there's strife with God, God didn't cause that strife. We did. If there's a break in the relationship, God didn't cause the break. We did. Because he says if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. We have all of these promises from God. After all, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In peace with God, there is no strife. So if we got a problem with God, it is exactly that. It's our problem. God wants to be in fellowship with us. That's why he sent Jesus to Christ, to come for us, to bring salvation to us, to allow us to take part in the grace he was offering. Because, as it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Jesus did not come into the world, it goes on to tell us in verse 17, to condemn the world, but that the whole world through him might be saved. So, if you want to be in fellowship with God, you can be simply by inviting Jesus Christ into your heart and your life as both your Savior and your Lord. He must be both. He must be your Lord. You must turn yourself over to Him. You know, this is one of the big differences between God and satanic things and Satan. Satan, you see, comes to dominate you. He'll take you over whether you want him or not, and he'll make you think it was fun and wonderful to do. The Lord, on the other hand, is a real gentleman. He comes to you and he offers himself, but he does not force himself on you. So Jesus was with the disciples, and then they did what? They asked. They said, how do we pray? Luke tells us this, that they asked. Lord, teach us to pray. So they were coming to him. They wanted to know. And in fulfillment of all of the promises that God has made, if you ask, you will find. You'll receive. So they received. Jesus made it clear to the disciples, his expectation was that they would pray. Jesus handled this in a just very simply, in a matter-of-fact way. Because he said to them, when you pray. He did not say, if you pray, if you think about praying, if you consider praying. He said, when you pray. Jesus knew in a relationship it is necessary for there to be verbal communication between parties. Now listen closely to me here. It's necessary that there is verbal communication between the parties. Now I know you could say, well, what about deaf people? Well, there's still going to be communication, the best form that they have, as close as they can get to verbal communication. There will be communication between the parties. Jesus expected, and Jesus expects, prayer to occur between his followers and the throne. He just expects that. He said, when you pray. It is this communication, really, which keeps communication open, free-flowing, and productive. But we are the ones who come and we ask God to receive us and listen to us. We are to come on a regular basis. Now, does this mean that God does not communicate with us? Yes, He does. And He communicates with us beyond the sun came up this morning. But if all He did was the sun came up this morning, that's communication, because we are told that all creation is held together by His Word. So now when Jesus told them to pray, the first thing that comes out in this prayer, let's take a look at this prayer. What's the first thing that comes out in the prayer? The very first statement that Jesus makes while teaching them the actual prayer method and form is the acknowledgement of God's fatherhood and location. Did you realize that? And before I said that it's very important that this be verbal, why is that? Why do you suppose it's important for the communication to be verbal? Well, let's take a look. The method of prayer was to speak out loud. The custom at the time was to stand. When you stand praying, you hear times when the rich man prayed and the poor man prayed, when they stood praying in the temple. You see, but the method of prayer was to speak out loud, acknowledging, now listen to me here, this is very important, acknowledging to all creation God's holiness. Now think about that for a minute. Jesus told them to speak out loud, and what did he say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. So he named the place, but he also said that God was holy, acknowledging to all creation God's holiness. Now, this may not seem important to many, but the pronouncement of God's importance in all creation is a very important thing. Now, why would it be this important? Why would it be so important to acknowledge this? Remember, when you say it, all creation's hearing you. There's a place in the Scripture that says that if we will not acknowledge God, even the rocks will cry out. Even the rocks would cry out. There must be something about this speaking it out. We're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's something about this speaking the things of God. So, it may not seem important to many, but the pronouncement of God's importance in all creation is very, very important. Why? It lets all creation know not to mess with a believer, or to mess with a believer is to invite the wrath of God Himself if anyone is touched in a harmful manner. Do you realize that when you speak out this holiness of God, when you acknowledge God and where He is in prayer, when you speak it out, all creation hears, uh-oh, there's one of God's. We better be careful about how we treat all the things spiritual. Know that you belong to the living God, and they'd better not mess with you, because to mess with you is to have to answer to the wrath of God Himself for what would be done to you. Had you ever thought of that? Had you ever really realized that when you pronounce and announce this to God, that that was the case? Very important thing there. Very important distinction. Because this is something that is not going to be messed with when it comes to all of creation. Creation is sometimes smarter than mankind, because creation knows that God spoke it all into existence just with His Word. Now, the next thing we hear about in this prayer is the kingdom. When the believer prays, they are to demonstrate that their desire is in complete agreement with that of God the Father, and God's kingdom to be restored to its rightful place in the earth and the hearts of mankind. Now notice there that the scripture said in earth and not on earth. In earth, in all of creation in the earth, God's dominion is to be acknowledged and to be. This statement is also really to demonstrate that the one praying places first and highest priority to the establishment of God's kingdom in all who walk the earth. That earth would experience heaven over it and in it and through it for all time and eternity. Now think about this for a minute, because the scripture tells us, now let's tie some other scripture in here. The scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things would be given, be added to us. Here, when we talk about the kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we are expressing that very thing. We are saying that the first priority in us, as it is in God, is that none should perish, but all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That can only be done through this kind of a relationship with God. When Jesus spoke of forgiveness within the prayer, He made it clear, because this is the next thing He did. He talked of forgiveness then, and He made it clear the prayer was to forgive those in their lives they might have considered the most difficult to forgive. He said to forgive those people. And He also said that we would be forgiven according to how we forgave. Forgiveness, grace, is so important to God. Remember the story of when the master came to the one guy, and or the rich man, and he came to this one guy, and he let him off on a bill, and then the other guy went out, and he goes beating up on other people, and telling them off, and threatening them over just a pittance that they owed them, and what a wicked person he was called to be in the story of the Lord. You see, it's very difficult to show grace if you've never received grace. You can't give something away you don't possess. And Jesus went right into the forgiveness then. After the establishment of the kingdom, after the acknowledgement of how holy God is and that He is in heaven, you see, we're here to do His work. We're here to do His will. Sometimes, my friends, we ask for things in prayer that God must just go, I've given you the authority to do that without having to ask. And we miss it. He's given us the authority to bring peace on earth. Now, what do I mean by peace there? I'm talking about the peace that brings God and man into fellowship with one another. That's what the Prince of Peace came to do. That's what Jesus did as the Prince of Peace. He restored peace between man and God. He brought forgiveness. This subject was of such importance to Jesus, He used examples of it interwoven throughout all His sermons and messages, and the examples and the stories that He told, He was trying to get this very point across to people. Then He talked about deliverance. Deliver us from evil, He said. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The believer has been delivered and is to ask for additional deliverance as their life progresses. It is this deliverance. This is really what growing in the Spirit is all about. Because you find as you grow closer to God that there are things in your life that just aren't holy. That are just maybe things that God's not pleased with, and because you're seeking God, because you're reaching for the higher life and seeking God with all your heart, you realize there are things that you really just need to give up. And there's where this deliverance comes in, because when you do and you command these things, if they're spirits, to leave your life, they must leave in the name of Jesus. God, through Christ, brought us deliverance. It is this deliverance which God has brought to us. And it allows God to prove Himself. Do you realize that? When God delivers you from something, it's an opportunity for Him to prove Himself faithful. Faithful to do exactly what He said He would do. All of these things we find in this little prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy is Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus didn't say that we couldn't ask for things. He told us to ask for things. As a matter of fact, He said we were to ask for things. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then how does He end the prayer? He closes the prayer the same way He opened it, doesn't He? He sort of puts bookends on the prayer. He puts a top and a bottom, or a right and a left side. He sort of hems it in. You know, I heard one time, and in a church that where I was, we had a banner that said, if your day is hemmed in with prayer, it's less likely to unravel. That's what Jesus does here. Jesus closes the prayer where it started with acknowledgement. What does He say? For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then He says, Amen, which means, so be it. It is a pronouncement, my friends. As a believer, you can go boldly to the throne. We're told we can go boldly to the throne with a prayer patterned after this. Am I saying that you should just memorize what's called the Lord's Prayer and just pray it over and over again? No, I'm not. But I am saying that you can pray this prayer in great confidence. After all, it came straight from the Lord Himself. But what I am telling you is the structure of your prayer life needs to follow the same structure as this prayer. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in My name, this is where some people miss it. Some people are praying, to Jesus, do this. We have a Godhead. Yes, it's three in one. We accept the Trinity as it's three in one, but He said to pray the Father in His name. So what we do is we go to the Father and we pray in the name of Jesus. And if we'll follow this pattern here, we will not be amiss in our praying. Because we're acknowledging that God is sovereign. We're acknowledging that God is the creator of everything. We're acknowledging to all creation who He is. And then we can bring the things that we need to pray about. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our daily needs. We're told that actually that He will give us things pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we can also pray for other people. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you've forgiven somebody, it shows that you care about them, just as Christ cared about them. He came that they would not have to suffer the penalty of their own sin. He came so that you and I would not have to suffer the penalty of our own sin. God did not create hell for mankind. It was created for Satan and his followers, not for mankind. Satan and the angels that followed him out of heaven, this is who hell was created for. He doesn't want us there. He didn't create it for us, and he's gone to great efforts to make sure that we know how to prevent this from happening to us. Now, my friends, we live in the last days right now. We need to understand these things. We need to know these things. We need to focus on these things. Christ is closer to his returning for us and for catching the believers away in the air than he has ever been. And all you have to do is look around and you discover that when you read the newspaper, when you listen to the news on television or radio, you're hearing the very same things that were said by the prophets of old and the very same things that John recorded in the book of the Revelation. We are in that time, my friends. There is not time to mess around with your relationship with God. If you've never accepted Christ, you need to do it, and you need to do it now. If you have fallen away from God, you need to return, and you need to return now. There is not time to barter. There is not time to bargain. We need to be in line with all the things here that Jesus told his disciples in this prayer. And all the other things that we're told throughout Scripture. So, my friend, pray these prayers. Pray to God to forgive you. Tell Him that you repent. Repent means that you just don't say, I'm sorry, and keep on with life the way it is. Repent means you say, I'm sorry, and you change, and you allow the Holy Spirit to come into you and change you and help you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You are not going to be abandoned. Because He said He would never abandon you. Give Him the opportunity to show Himself faithful and true. If you've fallen away, do the same. So, my friends, I say now to you, if you need help with this, contact us. Contact us at SojournersHub.org. Send me an email, thesojourner@SojournersHub.org. Get in touch with me. We'll help you. We'll find a place where you can have fellowship, or we'll create one where you are. Just let us know. But remember, prayer is very important in your relationship with God. There needs to be time for it. Not only just time set aside, but you should pray without ceasing, the Scripture tells us. You should be always in an attitude of prayer. I'll bet if you think back over the last week or so, if you had been in an attitude of prayer, were there things that you would not have said or done? Because you wouldn't have brought that into your time of communication with God? Always be in prayer. It's a great shield to the forces of Satan in your life. Well, that brings to an end this session together. And with this blessing, we'll be moving on and see you for the next time. So the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.